Making its way through the New York State legislature is a bill known as the Libel Terrorism Protection Act. If passed, the bill would limit what's known as libel tourism, which, in a nutshell, is when an aggrieved party files suit against a U.S. publisher or author. Not here in the States, but, say, in Great Britain, where libel law is much friendlier to the plaintiff. Through the legal principle of comity, a victory in a foreign court can be enforced here at home. The Libel Terrorism Protection Act seeks to limit such enforcement. That explains the libel part of the bill, but what does it have to do with terrorism? Samuel Abadie is a longtime civil rights attorney and outspoken proponent of the bill. He joins me now. Sam, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you very kindly.
Who are Rachel Ehrenfeld and Khalid bin Mahfouz?
Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld is an Israeli-American scholar of terrorism and counterterrorism who runs the American Center for Democracy, has been a professor at Columbia, New York University, and perhaps most importantly, one of the world's leading authorities on the financial roots and ties of terrorist organizations. Her latest book is called Funding Evil. In that book, she identifies Khalid bin Mahfouz, who is banker to the Saudi royal family, as a financier of terrorism, and specifically that through something called the Muwafaq, or Charitable Blessed Relief Foundation, that he transferred millions of dollars, all told about $74 million, to various terrorist groups, including Osama bin Laden.
All right. Now, bin Mahfouz sued Ehrenfeld for libel, but not in the States. Rather, he filed the complaint in England.
Indeed.
Why did he do it that way?
Well, bin Mahfouz lives in Saudi Arabia. Ehrenfeld lives in New York. Her book, which identifies him as a terrorist financier, was published by Basic Books here in the United States. And that book was not marketed in Saudi Arabia and was not marketed in Great Britain. So common sense, you would think, meant that he would have to sue where the book was published. That is where he was liable. But in fact, he went to England and sued her there because 23 copies of the book were purchased over the Internet. Unlike in American courts, courts in England, Australia, Canada, the Commonwealth courts will assert jurisdiction in libel cases merely by contacts in cyberspace.
Now, apart from the question of jurisdiction, what is it about the way libel law is understood in those countries that makes it a friendlier climate for a suit such as bin Mahfouz's?
In this country, whenever a plaintiff alleges an injury, typically the plaintiff has the burden of proving the harm. In England, however, if you sue for libel or slander, the words you claim are offensive are assumed to be false, and the defendant bears the burden of coming forward and proving that they are true.
Now, Ehrenfeld, knowing the differences between U.S. and English libel law, tried preemptively to get a U.S. court to issue what's called an upfront decision to prevent any future judgment from England from being enforced here.
Correct.
But the courts turned her down.
What Dr. Ehrenfeld did was refuse to recognize the jurisdiction of the British court simply because 23 copies of her book were ordered from Amazon. And instead, she brought a lawsuit against bin Mahfouz here to declare that his English judgment was not enforceable here as repugnant to the free press provisions of the First Amendment. And the New York court dismissed the case, saying that bin Mahfouz had insufficient ties to New York for our courts to assert jurisdiction over him.
And that's kind of a catch-22.
In England, they're willing to assert, you know, very tenuous jurisdiction over her. But here, he gets more protection because our courts won't assert jurisdiction over him.
Now, on the face of it, something called the Libel Terrorism Protection Act, while helping a plaintiff such as Ehrenfeld, could have some other far-reaching and fairly frightening implications if the decisions of foreign courts are not respected here. Am I wrong about that?
You're exactly right. We have an interest in comedy, but we also have an interest in protecting our own values. And in this case, our interest in protecting the First Amendment and the principles of free speech and a free press trump the interest in enforcing foreign judgments that don't meet our First Amendment standards.
It seems to me that the existence of libel suit-friendly countries like the United Kingdom could actually, you know, apart from doing harm to authors who have published, cause publishers to not publish things that are worthy of print just for fear of getting whacked with a giant lawsuit from wealthy Arabs or anyone else.
This has already happened. After Dr. Ehrenfeld's book, Funding Evil, was published, two scholars published a book called Alms for Jihad, in which Ben Mahfouz was also identified as a major terrorist financier. That book was published by Cambridge University Press, the oldest academic press in the world. And on the mere threat of libel litigation by Ben Mahfouz, Alms for Jihad was pulped. All the unsold copies were destroyed, and the British public was no longer allowed to have access to that book. So the real threat to our national security by libel tourism is not theoretical, but practical, and has already happened, as in that case.
Okay, fair enough. Although absent the document itself, that is the book, you know, we can't know whether the chilling effect in that case stymied some important work coming to light in the public, or whether it was actually defamatory and that England's fairly liberal view of libel actually saved someone from defamation or other kinds of harm.
I don't think it's just theoretical, and I think we do know. We know because Craig Unger's bestseller in this country, House of Bush, House of Saud, was watered down and had to be published under a different name in England because of fear of libel tourism. We know that Ben Mahfouz keeps a website boasting of his almost 40 litigations, and he's hardly alone. And most importantly, Dr. Ehrenfeld has been told that her newest works will not be published because of the impact of libel tourism.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Samuel Abadie, longtime criminal defense and civil rights lawyer, is now writing and teaching in New York City.
WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. They're one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.